Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know the song. You know what time it is. Time to get our money right. Take care of your chicken, as Marshawn Lynch would explain.
Yep. Take care of your chicken.
Nobody does it better than our chief economic correspondent for the B. Mitchell Finley program, as well as the chief economic correspondent and Morning Money columnist for Politico. You see him on CNBC, see him on all sorts of television, Mr. Ben White. Ben, how are you, dude? How's everything going?
Gentlemen, everything is going great. Great to be back with you. JP, I hope you had a lovely vacation. Looked like you did.
We did, man. We had a good time. I see that you're back out in the world. Big lunches in Manhattan, power broker type S.
Yep. It's, money never sleeps, and now you can actually see people in person, which is a little weird. I feel like all of our social skills need some redeveloping, but getting there, seeing human beings in person, and talking money and politics, and trying to get back to life as usual.
Yeah, I mean, money is politics, I think.
Money has been crazy lately.
So I want to ask you about the markets, because they're all over the place, and I think people are nervous, especially with this Delta variant, and people don't want to get vaccines, all that stuff. Before we get to that real life stuff, I got a question for you.
Sure.
We've been doing the phone lines for about an hour now. More and more national NFL analysts, pundits, hot takers, whatever you want to call them, more and more people are coming out saying how good they think the Washington football team could be this fall. Rich Eisen said he thinks they're going to go 12-5. Sam Acho on ESPN said he thinks they will challenge Tampa to win the NFC. Brian Baldinger thinks they could be really good. The hype is building around this team. As a lifelong Washington football team fan, does that make you nervous?
It does. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'd much rather people be sticking, they're going to be 5-12 and 12-5, so we can sneak up and surprise people. You know what it reminds me of? And this is a totally different team and much more of a homegrown team with young talent that, here in the 90s when they got Bruce Smith and all these other high-priced free agents, and they were preseason favorites to be, if not Super Bowl champions, at least NFC champions. And they just stank, if I recall correctly. So that's what it makes me think of. Like, I don't like too much hype around the team. I like some. Like, I like the enthusiasm. I like the fact that people are taking notice that obviously it's a killer defense and some new tools on offense. But as soon as, Eisen coming out at 12-5, I mean, that's just nuts, to get to that kind of level from where they were. I'd be happy with 10 wins, love 12 wins. But, yeah, the short answer is it makes me really nervous and puts pressure on them. And then if they start out poorly, things could go south. I'd much rather sneak up on people and they wake up one day and all of a sudden, Washington is 4-1, 5-1, something like that, and we're, up-and-coming underdog story.
See, the thing that kills me is that people like JP, all those guys are over there all the time. They see the team on a regular basis, and they put out stuff, and nobody gets hyped. And then we get people that never, ever steps into the building.
Right.
They say something, and the whole town lose their damn mind. I believe it's a prime example of people who don't believe in what they see. They believe in what somebody tells them. You see what I'm saying?
Nah.
So
if
they've been telling us how good the team is, what things are happening, but now you get these people who, a lot of people work for ESPN. It's a hot take company. They say take, and now we all are going, oh, yes, they said it, so it has to be true. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. And I think the more they say it, the less true it will become. But that's just because I'm, you know, naturally pessimistic. And then we've been beaten down for a while as Washington football fans and getting to believe in this hype. And it's a great point that, you know, they just swoop in and make these judgments without actually, you know, showing up at the park and watching drills and OTAs and all the rest of it. You know, it is a hot take network and a hot take industry. You know, so that's the hot take of the day. I don't necessarily think it's wrong, given what I've seen on paper and what, you know, you guys have reported and JP's reported from camp and the talent on the roster. But it does make me really nervous and would rather there be a lot less hype.
Yeah, nobody likes the hype. I mean, it's funny when Joe Gibbs would talk. I remember there's that famous story, and Beamish brought this up a little earlier. There's that famous story of Steve Buckhantz when he was working for Channel 5 telling,
they say that you all are going to
Joe Gibbs, they say that you're a Super Bowl contender, and Joe said, who's they? And Buckhantz,
Playboy.
I mean, just the best response ever. I love it. But
oh, my God. What a gift. He's
like, look at your source.
Yeah.
I could just hear Joe saying, like, you know, Steve, we'll be lucky just to win a single game. You know, we're just going to go out there and play football. And if we get one win, I'll be happy. And then we'll go on to the next one. Like, he was just, you know, classic.
Totally.
Humble Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how it should be. I want to switch gears so we have plenty of time, though.
Yeah, sure.
Weird, maybe scary week for the stock market. Texting with friends that maybe the housing market's kind of really slowing down. What the hell's going on out there?
Yeah, well, Delta's a big part of it. As you mentioned before, we did have a big sell-off in the market on Monday after sort of news over the weekend about, you know, the vaccination rate in the U.S. still being below 50%, you know, the number of people getting hospitalized with the Delta variant, and then not just the U.S., but obviously, you know, the Olympics are tanking in Japan. Nobody allowed to go to them, and the fear of, you know, more lockdowns happening both Europe and the United States. And I think that correction in the market was a bit overdue. And it's not just COVID-19. It's not just, you know, the Delta variant. It's also the fact that asset prices have been inflated for a while and may not stay that way, the housing market in particular, which definitely is cooling off, you know, to the bidding wars that you did a couple of months ago. But the thing that's weird about the market is it snapped right back. You know, it was up 500 yesterday, I think up a couple hundred today. I still think there's some irrational exuberance there, given where we are on vaccinations, given where we are on inflation, given, you know, what's happening in the housing market. But there's ebullience here, and people, you know, still want to pile into stocks. The Fed is still keeping interest rates low for a long period of time, which the market really likes. We're going to see some markets and volatility heighten increase as we learn more about Delta, as we work on getting the rest of the country vaccinated, and as, you know, it becomes clear that some high-valued stuff like the housing market and crypto, you know, is gonna come back to earth. So I get used to it for a little bit. Don't pull your money out. Don't freak out. Don't necessarily look at your 401k every day, but just kind of hold on and ride it out.
So speaking of a lot of money, though, Jeff Bezos just went to the edge of space. Were you impressed by that? Or do you feel like we felt that he just took a high flight? He didn't really go out of space.
He went to just the tip of space.
You're right. Just the edge. Just the tip. Yeah, it feels. You know, whatever. It's cool that he did it, I guess. You know, I don't know what the long-term future there is. It did feel just like, you know, billionaire fight between him and what's his name? The other dude who just went to space.
Branson, right?
Yeah.
Richard Branson, you know, kind of this, like, I could get there. As I said, it wasn't a battle for being there very far. You know, it's like the old concept, basically, get to the edge of space and that thing before they grounded it. But if he wants to, I mean, you know, he could go out there and stay out there for a while. You know, why not?
Build a house.
That's what I want to say.
So when you talk about the markets.
Yeah.
How can the politicians, like, the genie's out of the bottle at this point? Like, the country's back open, and there are parts of the country that never really even closed. If this Delta variant is that significant, I don't think people are going back to lockdown. But I saw, was it L.A. they put a mask mandate back in?
Yeah, mask mandates in L.A.
But politicians want to win elections, right? Like, that's what they care about. And you can't – how can they try to reconcile all this stuff?
I don't think they can. I don't think you can really unring the bell of reopening and mask requirements being dropped. And the fact of the matter is, you know, if people are vaccinated, they can still get – breakthrough infections from the Delta variant, but chances are you're not going to get super sick. You're not going to be hospitalized. You are protected to a large degree. And so, you know, the people who are vaccinated probably rightly feel, and I feel, you know, we should go back to our lives as normal. Most places are not going to go back to mask mandates. I mean, the New Jersey governor and New York governor are both opposed to them, so it doesn't seem likely. And you know, to get the economy going, to keep markets going up, like, we need to keep the reopening going. So I think the very unfortunate thing is those who, for whatever reason, refuse to get vaccinated are putting themselves at risk of hospitalization and death for no good reason. And it is
what's crazy to me.
I think people have to realize, too, though, just because you're vaccinated don't mean that you can't catch. It just means that you won't, like you say, you won't have the serious consequences of it. You can't just go gung-ho just because I got a vaccination as well. Because you can bring it back to a person at your house.
Take some precautions. Right? Yeah. Sure. Exactly. And if you are living with anybody who's unvaccinated, then the calculus is different for you, obviously. But yeah, it doesn't, just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean that you can't get it. You can. It means you probably won't get super sick. And, you know, you do have to take some precautions, particularly if you have, you know, family members, loved ones, close friends who are unvaccinated.
So, Ben, I almost texted you when I was in the Outer Banks, because I still am on Twitter. I'm still, like, reading the paper. I read the posts in the Wall Street Journal and your stuff at Politico. And it's funny. So, I guess the inflation numbers come out once a month or whatever. The price increases. And I read this thing. So, the price increase for consumer goods was it a 5% jump year over year in June?
Yeah, it was 5.4.
And so what I read is that's the biggest jump in years, right?
Yes.
And one outlet presents it as 5% jump shows signs of real inflation hitting marketplace, and another place presents it as 5% jump shows economic recovery is working. Like, what the hell is the truth?
The truth is closer to the first one. You can have an economic recovery that's working and working well without elevated inflation like that. Like, over the long term, we absolutely don't want prices rising that fast, particularly when they're rising faster than wages, which they did in June. And, you know, that's kind of the worst case scenario, is for prices to rise faster than people's paychecks, which screws everything up. Some inflation is not a terrible thing. We always want, you know, the Fed generally wants 2% or so a year, because it, you know, means wages are going up, people are making more money. You know, it's fine. You don't want disinflation or deflation in the economy. By any means, that's really bad as well. But it's not right that 5% plus annual inflation rate is a good sign for the economy. I mean, hopefully it's just a temporary sign and one that shows, you know, that things are reopening and blah, blah, blah. But no, you don't want inflation that fast. That certainly doesn't. And people going to out to eat or take a plane or stay in a hotel, they certainly don't want it.
But shouldn't we have expected some of this to happen? I mean, people were sitting around for a little bit over a year, not doing anything, not being open. Prices are going to go up because it comes to that supply and demand thing.
And prices always go
up. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they always do. But yes, you're absolutely right that there was a ton of pent up demand for people who haven't done anything in over a year and found some money and maybe had stimulus checks and the rest of it ready to spend, and not enough supply, not enough people working the hotel desk, not enough flights getting canceled because you don't have enough workers at the airports.
Not enough Tito's or High Noons in the Outer Banks.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Supposed to bring that with you.
There's, you know, a lot of demand, limited supply, and as we've talked about before, hopefully those two match up with each other later in the year, and you know, we're all happy and things are going well. We're not, you know, paying $79 for, you know, half a pound of scallops or something.
Ben, I did want to ask you this because you are our economic expert. This is from Robert Little, Black Sports Online, great Twitter follow. Maybe you can offer some advice or clarity here. The tweet says, Instagram model Vanessa Chantal, who leaked Dwayne Haskins' text messages asking for $20,000 back he had given her in gifts, explains she had friend-zoned him and he was still buying her Chanel bags before his wife knocked out his tooth in Las Vegas. What is the economic practice here to spend $20,000 on an Instagram model and then ask for it back? Is there a principle here? Is that Econ 201? Because I never got that far.
That calls dumbassness.
yeah, that's dumbassery 101. moronity and foolishness 201. Like, I only followed about half of what you just read once you got the Instagram model and something about Dwayne Haskins. I saw him getting his tooth knocked out. I guess this is why that happened. But listen, you know, this guy seemed like kind of a dummy when he was here, and the reason that he moved on relatively quickly. I was rooting for him from the start, like, you know, seemed like a good kid, wanted him to do well, but I don't think he's got his head screwed on his shoulders particularly well. Seems like there's a slight amount of maturing that might need to happen.
The first thing came out, we thought it was a disagreement because they went to a what's it called, a Magic Mike thing, and he and his friends went to Dreas. But it comes down to, she found out you were sending gifts.
I will say this, looking at this picture of Instagram model Vanessa Chantal, she does have some assets. And I don't know that he was trying to purchase these assets.
He dropped the ETS?
I'm not saying that. I'm looking from a purely economic standpoint here, Brian.
Diversified mutual funds.
It
was mutual.
She has a portfolio. I can tell you that much. But I don't know that 20 grand makes a lot of sense.
A nice chest.
No, I think
Trump.
She.
There we go, Trump.
Yeah, I think if it was a, I'm just gonna stop. But Ben, is it sound financial advice to send $20,000 in gifts to an Instagram model?
It is not sound financial advice. It's certainly not sound marital or relationship advice to be doing it on the fly to somebody else and think you're not gonna get found out about it. I mean, I feel like all these athletes always get, you know, they get caught up in the DMs and things escalate and they think they're not going to get found out. You always get found out. There's just no way around it.
Ben, you are the best. Few people can handle inflation, housing market, stock market, and Instagram models, but you can do it.
That's my portfolio right there.
quite the assets.
Yeah.
Thank you for the time, as always. Everybody give him a follow on Twitter, at Morning Money Ben. I'll be in Richmond next week, dude. You should get on a flight down there.
We'll try it. If I can afford one, we'll see.
Maybe drive. Thank you for the time, man.
Brothers, have a good day.
Thank you, man.
That is Ben White. In 20 minutes, Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, will join us. We'll get a preview of what's to come next week. Washington football team back on the field.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along social media at BMitch Live NBCS. You can follow me at JP Finley NBCS. I want to talk a little hoops. Giannis and the Bucks won the NBA championship last night. It was a fun game to watch.
Yep.
Giannis is that dude.
You know what? And you have to give him his credit and give him his just due. And I think after watching that little thing a few nights ago, and I said, let me check him out in going into these games. And in the last two games he's played, he got better. Well, that's the last four, he got better and better. Then people kind of felt he took a little step back, but he still had a lot of points. And I sat here with Chris Miles, and I give him hell because I know he is the president of the Giannis Antetokounmpo fan club. But I give credit where credit is due. Giannis did what I felt LeBron didn't do at certain times. Giannis felt he got to the point where I'm not going to lose passing. I'm going to become more aggressive. They can't stop me from going to the hole, so I'm going to the damn hole. I'm going to post up. And then he got so confident last night, hell, he missed one free throw. And he was shooting a J, nothing but net. Basically, what I'm saying is that dude got to a point in this finals where he said, they can't stop me, and I'm going to inflict my will on them.
Totally.
And I respect that. And watching him last night, he was a man amongst boys in that damn game.
Absolutely. He dropped 50 points in game six of the NBA finals.
He had 17.
That is MJ's type stuff.
Didn't he have like 17 in the first two quarters? And then he went he had 18 in the third, I think it was. And then he just went crazy on him, man. You have to say it was one of the best finals performances we've seen.
Absolutely. I think since Kawhi with the Raptors a couple years ago, because even Curry, LeBron, like, there's just so many other dudes on those teams, and I'm not trying to overly belittle Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, but
I mean, but Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday had unbelievable finals as well. If they don't play the way that they play, I don't think they win.
Sure, but if Giannis isn't there, none of this happens.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying everybody played their part in a sense.
So we are both wildly impressed with Giannis.
Yeah.
Not everybody was, I guess. I want to play this audio because I just find it laughably dumb. For yourself, ESPN. Is that right, Mullins?
Wait, what's the last four letters you said?
Certainly, that's
okay,
correct.
You got to realize we just had last week, it was said about Shohei Ohtani by an ESPN person.
That he can't be the face of the league.
And now it's being said about another guy. And you play it if you want. It makes no sense.
Here's why Giannis can't be the face of the NBA. Because America does not respect a slow burn. We respect a who dat. Think about a who dat versus a slow burn. I'm a late bloomer. So it took me a long time to get my proper due. A lot of late bloomers. I talked to Tony Romo about this before, and I saw him witness this. He was a late bloomer in terms of his NFL prowess. Let's look at these guys on this list. Tell me if he's a late bloomer or not. Zion. Nope. He who dat from hell on. Who dat? Who that big old microwave refrigerator out there bouncing? Luka, as soon as we caught our eyes on him, who that? Oh, he been pro since 14? Damn it. Steph, now that's a slow burn. That's why he gets robbed. Ah, you're making a point. LeBron, who that, right? Westbrook, slow burn. Slow burn. Back up at UCLA. You're making a point.
Wait, college makes him a slow burn?
Oh, yeah, because soon we catch notice. That's why Lonzo was like, who that? Because his daddy, his shoe, 1 year, bang. Now we're like, where are he at? What is he doing? He's not living up to it. This is how difficult the terrain is to become in the face of the NBA. Now, Kobe, who that? 16, 17 years old, you hear about it. The guy, everybody you've named, Shaq, everybody who we really name without another name has always been a who that guy. All these slow burners, they struggle. Even Steph Curry, who's the greatest of all slow burners.
That's good.
But Steph Curry.
What in the hell?
See, and
is he talking about?
Marcellus Wiley is my boy. He's very intelligent. Went to Columbia University. Grew up in Compton. Okay? Has overcome a lot. But I have seen him transform since going over to ESPN. I've seen him go from a guy who sit there and systematically told people things and made you have to think about stuff to a guy who's fallen into the high take market. Giannis, if Giannis plays like he's won two MVPs already. He just won a finals. And he got the finals MVP as well. Giannis comes out next year playing the same way and beginning to burn like he is. People are going to start looking at him and say, this guy is for real. He's starting to, because he's going to consistently put it together. Steph Curry took over the NBA. Because of his shooting, he had his little boy's looks. People fell in love with that.
He's the biggest star in the NBA.
As good as Luka is, Luka is not nowhere close to being a face.
If Luka,
he's talented as hell, but no one is thinking of him as the face.
If Luka Doncic walked in here, I wouldn't know who he was.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like right now, just think about it. And I said it to you all when Stephen A. Smith said the stuff about Shohei. And we saw him come the next day with the apology. And I said, ESPN does not give a damn what he said. They got clicks. They got eyes. They got people viewing them. That's what they care about. And everyone felt like, oh, he was forced to go apologize. If he was forced, why does this back up the next day, the next week with the same type of crap?
He makes a point in there, all the one-name guys, Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, literally everybody just calls him Giannis. People can't even say his last name.
But is that more because they can't pronounce his last name?
He's a one-name guy. People can pronounce Leonard, but they still just say Kawhi.
Right, but I mean, like, people can obviously pronounce James and Bryant, but you just always called them Kobe and LeBron because they were that big of deals.
LeBron, James, even the meme and the little things got his whole name in it.
Are you agreeing with this?
I actually do agree with him, yeah.
I think Giannis can be.
I think he is.
If Giannis goes out there and wins
He dropped 50 in the finals.
If he wins the MVP next year and he goes back to the finals, you're not going to start looking at him as the next guy? Because I'm going to tell you what I thought last night. I said that the NBA is in trouble because it seemed to me that he finally hit that little light bulb went off where he said, I don't have to just sit out and shoot jumpers. I don't have to be like everybody else. I can go to the hole. Because, see, James Harden just a couple years ago, okay, was knocking him, saying that all he does is, how much talent does it take to go to the hole? Well, you can't stop me. And James Harden, how many finals he been in?
Zero.
Okay.
So was he on that team, the Oklahoma team, Oklahoma City team, when they went to the finals?
I mean,
maybe.
He won.
Maybe.
I said it like that. This man led.
Zero ring.
He did it all. If you think he can't become the face of the NBA, something wrong. Because if he keep playing like that, they're going to start saying, now we can let LeBron and them go. It's time for them to start moving on. We got somebody right here now. Giannis is in his eighth year. He got another 8 to 10 probably. Why can't he take over now? That's the way I look at it. I mean, when I see a person in the final game learn something and he consistently did what nobody could stop him from doing. Michael, at a point in his career, realized they couldn't stop him from doing certain things. He did it over and over and over again. If Giannis what big man in the league can possibly stay with him? Because I'm going to tell you, I like Ayton, but Ayton couldn't do nothing with him. Ayton seemed five steps slow. Ever since he blocked that damn alley-oop, this dude has been a man child since.
Totally.
I don't know. I just think I don't agree with that, that he can't be. Now, if they can't say his last name, fine, whatever. But his ability on the court, they don't say how, they say how many.
So let's say this.
As long as you put the ball through the hole, that's all we care about.
Let's clear one thing up. This is a Fox Sports 1 show.
Same thing, too.
Right.
That's even worse.
I mean, because I think these guys come on either before or after Shannon and Skip.
Believe me, we have seen it's the same thing.
I just think that's a joke, dude. That he can't, because he's a slow. Giannis is the dude. He proved it.
Was Kawhi a slow burn?
What the hell does that even mean?
Which means it took some people some time to really get to where they were going. But we were saying Kawhi is one of the best in the league. He goes to San Antonio, they were already winning when he got there. So was it Kawhi's? But yeah, he goes there, he plays well. So, I mean, my whole thing is, long as you get it done, it's all that matters. And he got it done.
Got it done in a big way. You know who else does that? Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. He'll join us next, 106.7 The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We are back, and we're not messing around. We're going right to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Time to talk to our friend, Mr. Michael Phillips, sports editor, Richmond Times-Dispatch. You ready to showcase your hometown next week?
You know, it's been 2 years, two long years. We've counted down every day. When is JP coming back? When is the football team coming back? It is finally time.
I can't wait, dude. I also am happy that it's 1 week rather than the 3 weeks we used to do. What are you watching for most with this football team when things get going next week?
Day one, first snap, I'm watching Landon Collins. I'm very curious whether he will be even attempting to do anything, whether he'll be with the team, what his status will be, whether he's going to sit out the season, whether he's going to start on PUP, come back playing, come in hot, take a job. I think we're all very curious to see what he's capable of coming off of that Achilles, and that really sets the table back there in the secondary. Look, the cornerbacks are good. This is the first time we've been on the radio saying this. The cornerbacks are good enough to win, I believe. You have Jackson and Fuller and then the rest of that crew. That's good enough in the NFL. I don't think the safeties are good enough. So that's a big piece of the puzzle if he can come to play for you.
I think he starts on PUP. I don't know that he's, I mean, he's 9 months removed from a Achilles tear. That's a year injury.
I think there's a chance he doesn't play this season. I think there's a chance he comes back midseason, gives this team a lift. I'm very curious to see, you know, he was, I think one of the surprises of minicamp was to see that he showed every day for OTAs, that he was back there, that he was super engaged, talking with the younger players, a guy who was clearly taking his role very seriously, even if he wasn't playing, which I think is very encouraging.
But do you think, I don't think we see him once they have to actually put the roster out and pass the conditioning test and stuff. That's a very good point. It's really something to watch. And we'll know that by Wednesday morning, I would think.
Yeah.
What are you going to say offensively?
We'll declare the pups on Tuesday, yeah.
Right.
Offensively, I think you've got to be excited for this wide receiver battle. You know, so a name player is going to get cut at the end of this training camp. Mm. You know, a guy we've heard of, whether it's AGG or Sims or Harmon or whoever it is, somebody whose name you know, who you've seen catch passes in a football game, is going to get cut. Maybe it's Isaiah Wright. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty there at wide receiver. There's going to be some really good competition in the depth part of that. I think that's exciting. Now, what I want to see is a tight end emerge as the legit number two behind Logan Thomas, because it's going to be awfully hard to run a 17-game NFL season with only one viable tight end option at starter. So you'd certainly love to see somebody take a big step forward there, you know, and just really give you a little bit of security at that position.
Does anything, the running back position from last year we had, and I think people look at the fact of Gibson late in the season had the toe and did not get through it, and people are looking for who's going to be that guy who can basically back him up. Who do you suspect? Is it going to be Barber, or are they going to have somebody else step up?
Yeah, and you know, you got Miller as well. You got options across the board here. That is another position where I don't feel great about the depth. You know, this is going to be a broken record by the end of camp. You guys keep having me on. I'm going to say I don't feel good about the depth, but I think there's not a lot of depth to feel good about at a lot of positions here so far. That's something Ron Rivera's working on. He's building. I think you're really comfortable with your starter. You're really comfortable with Antonio Gibson. And if something happens to him, if he gets hurt or if he can't play, I think you're really uncomfortable going forward there at that spot. But I think we're saying that across the board, too. Certainly, you'll feel the effects of letting Morgan Moses walk if there's an injury at that tackle position. You know, you're just not deep enough as those really great teams are yet. But on the other hand, Ron Rivera, man, you look at the draft picks he's pulled, the instant impacts he's gotten. Cam Curl came out of nowhere last year. You'd certainly expect to have a few guys. J.D. McKissick came in as a free agent, did his thing. In Ron, you trust here if you're looking at this roster.
You need to. I mean, because you're saying there's offensive line concerns if there's an injury. There could be offensive line concerns with health, too. I mean, you got a second-round rookie tackle that I recognize there's a lot of excitement for Cosme, but this dude's never played a snap. He's never played a snap in the NFL. The Big 12 is not the NFC East.
Let's just put this out there, because I say this a lot, and so I'll say it again. Rookie linemen don't succeed in the NFL. You got to be like a unicorn first-round top 10 pick guy. It is a tough leap. The college game is different. The college style is different. The coaching is different. The speed and strength of the competition is different, and you're getting a lot less help. You know, you think about it in college with the spread and everything, you know, you can find a way to get a double team when you need a double team against a good rusher. There's going to be a lot of times you're on that island in the NFL. And Morgan Moses is the perfect example. Everybody's ready to run him out of town after year one because he was a bum. But it turns out it's just a really hard thing to do.
Right.
That's true.
So I don't know if you saw this. Fred Warner just got paid by the 49ers. Ooh. He's now the highest paid linebacker in the NFL. $40 million guaranteed, making $19 million a year. The thing I notice with that deal is San Fran was smart. They paid him after his third season, so it's a contract extension. They still are paying this coming year on his rookie deal. So that brings your total average annual salary for this guy way down, because he's probably making $900K or something this year as a mid-round player. Washington, unable to get that done with Brandon Scherff, obviously.
I don't even know that they tried and there was regime change, who the hell knows, then right now it looks unable to get this done with John Allen. John Allen's going into the fifth year, option year, and after that, if there's no deal, you got to figure that's a free agency or maybe a tag, but I don't think you can tag him with this, with the dollars attached to that tag.
With everybody else, too.
Is now the time for, should they be talking to Daron Payne? And then this time next year, it's got to be Terry McLaurin, right?
Man, we are really on the clock here with Jonathan Allen. I know we're all kind of getting back from vacation. We're all adjusted back into our flow. The clock is ticking on Jonathan Allen. If he doesn't get signed by that first day of training camp, I think he's a free agent. I don't think that's an exaggeration to say that. And you know, maybe they're okay with that. Maybe they're still turning this roster over. But here's the truth of the NFL. Guys don't get cheaper, especially good players. Mm-hmm. Waiting does not bring the price down. If you want Jonathan Allen on your team long term, you give him what he wants right now because he's going to want more later and he's going to get it later, especially if he goes into free agency. A guy like that, how many teams would love to have that guy as the face of their defense? The way he fires guys up, the way he leads. You know, you're not just buying a great defensive lineman there. You're getting a guy who's going to be an instant impact leader. You know, you get a coaching change. You get somebody who wants to bring in somebody who can help change the culture. That's the first call I'm making next year. I think the clock's really ticking on Jonathan Allen.
I agree.
Also, one thing about depth. We talk so much about the D-line and how good the defense is, but after Chase Young, Montez Sweat, what's there?
Well, you're talking about on the ends, not in the middle.
I'm talking about the ends because the pass rushers are the ones that we really talk about because they get sacks.
Yeah, but I don't think Kerrigan was the answer there either, bringing him back. I think you're working on building depth, and I think they've got enough young pieces. They've kind of bought enough late-round lottery tickets. You're just hoping one of them scratches off and wins you a couple bucks here. They grabbed a couple this year, the kid from Baylor, Shaka Tony, obviously, who we talked a lot about. In the last year with the NC State kid, James Smith Williams, they've got.
I think he's your third D end, James Smith.
Yeah, you've got three guys in the building, and you're just waiting for one of them to pop. So I don't think they've ignored the position by any stretch. You talk about how important that position is. Yes, it's important they find the depth there, and they don't have it right now for sure. But I don't think they're neglecting it. You know, three draft picks in 2 years. I know they're late round picks. I know you're taking chances on guys. But you're really hoping one of those three pops, and you believe in Rivera and his ability to scout and his ability to find that guy to plug in there.
Probably the biggest topic that isn't directly football-related but kind of is the COVID situation. What is going to happen when we get to Richmond and half these guys – the latest reporting says 50% of the team, it's about 50% vaccinated. It means half these guys aren't going to be able to go to the meeting room where the other half can. How the hell are they going to try to pull this off?
As a competitive disadvantage, it's very unfortunate after how well they did last year. And I guess there's two main things I think when I think about this. One is the window closed. You guys got vaccinated. I got vaccinated. We all encourage folks to get vaccinated. Let's tell the truth, though. The day after you get that shot, you don't feel so great. And guys are not going to want to go through that while they're fighting for a roster spot in the middle of training camp. You know, some of these NBA guys who are saying, hey, I'm going to do this after the season because I'm in the middle of the season. I don't want to get disrupted. You know, we can quibble about that, but I think that's a legitimate thing to stand on is, you know, I want to do this in the offseason. Well, they just had 6 weeks off. They just had 6 weeks to get this thing done. There was never a better time for them to get this done than 6 weeks ago. And the fact that they didn't is very disappointing, obviously. Now, I also cast some blame on the NFL because I think we could knock this thing out in 10 minutes. Here's the statement from the league office. If you get COVID and you miss a game and you're not vaccinated, you don't get paid. I think if the league office issues that statement tomorrow, we're going up to 100% really quickly.
Well, it's also, if you look at the SEC and the Big 12 have already come out and said, if there's a COVID cancellation, we're not rescheduling the game, it's a forfeit. And I think the NFL will have to do something similar. Phillips, we always appreciate your time, man. I can't wait
appreciate
to see you next
Mike.
Week. And
see you next week.
I imagine we'll see you next Tuesday, I believe.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Do we know timing on that presser?
No, we don't. We don't yet. Earlier the better is my motto in Richmond.
That's my motto too. thank you for the time, dude. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Everybody, give him a follow on Twitter at Michael P RTD. Here's what we're gonna do next. Training camp starts. Who's the MVP
of this team by the end of the year. There's going to be some big names, maybe some less heard of names, too. Taking your calls, our opinions, 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.